Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
I don't know why this was on my mind, but is there a connotation with males who get nipple rings? Like this, like, because I know back in the day, if you had a hoop earring in a certain ear, that meant something. Mm-hmm. But like, if a man gets nipple rings, does that, like, is there a
thought? Just means you're super freaky.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Like if I got nipple rings, it would just be like, that guy's a freak.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing. That's it. There's nothing else to it.
I also think it means you like them like tugged on and stuff.
Yeah. It's a sensual thing.
I do.
What are you looking at me like that for, Ryan?
Well, I'm just curious. Like, I just wondered if a guy, if I see a guy, when I see a guy with nipple rings, I'm like, I think, well, he likes pain.
I dated a girl who had them.
Now, a girl who gets nipple rings, that's a completely different conversation.
That's the same conversation.
Not in my book. You know what time it is. Hey!
Show, good morning. Chiefs, Rams, less than a week away. And while the Chiefs are getting healthier, highlighted by the return of Sammy Watkins and Anthony Hitchens, the Rams took a hit yesterday. Cooper Kupp lost for the season with a torn ACL. Here's former NFL quarterback Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN.
It's a significant loss because he and Jared Goff seem to have a great, you know, feel and rapport for one another in terms of work in the middle of the field. I mean, they've been outstanding together. Now what you're doing is you're just moving everybody down a rung. And the reliability of Cooper Kupp and what he's been, especially kind of on crucial down and distances, in the red zone, things of that nature, they'll be able to deal with it. But that's a significant loss for them.
As a Chiefs fan right now, and that's courtesy of ESPN, the Cooper Kupp injury, I don't want to say it makes me mad, but I think it's unfortunate for the Chiefs, in my opinion. I do believe it makes it easier for them to win the game. But right now, I believe the Chiefs are 9-1. And with the help of the Tennessee Titans, you know, with their remaining schedule, it is pretty safe to say that the Chiefs have a better than 50% chance to be the number one overall seed. And they've got to lose two more games to tie with the Patriots to lose that. And then that means the Patriots can't lose. So I feel like you know where you're going to be already after week 10. And you're confident with most of the team. When I think you play Super Bowl caliber teams in the regular season like this, and when you know where you are, I personally would like to see the Chiefs have to play these teams at complete full strength, at complete the best Rams team that you will see. Because I do think understanding the level of what it is to play against and who you're playing against, and especially just in case you see them again, like, I would like to have the Rams at their best so I can get a real clear understanding of how the Chiefs would respond to these teams at their best. All right, I do think playing Super Bowl caliber teams and understanding the level you are, I think that is a good thing and a good test. So I know it sounds weird. I wish they were at complete full strength. I hope Peters is completely healthy. I hope Kupp is completely healthy. I mean, I wish Kupp would be healthy and could play. I would rather the Rams be completely ready to go 100% because I think that's the best look that the Chiefs need. And if the Chiefs, we know where the Chiefs are going, I think getting the best competition they can to prepare them for AFC championship games or divisional rounds is best for the team.
I understand you wanting Marcus Peters healthy so you don't have to get Orlando Scandrick's full name tattooed on your leg.
It's just Lando 22, you son of a gun.
Regardless, I understand wanting Marcus Peters healthy because not only the tattoo, but the kind of Twitter barrage you're likely to receive on Monday night and when Tyreek Hill runs by Marcus
Peters. I want them all to be. I wish all the Rams, I wish we saw the best that the Rams could put out.
As a fan, I'm with you. I want the entertainment. I would like to see the two best teams. As a football fan, but as a Chiefs fan, no. Other than the aesthetically pleasing nature of two great teams going at it, to act as if this game on Monday night is going to have any bearing on what goes down in the divisional round or the AFC title game, I think that's silly. It's week 10, right? They are 9-1, so week 11 of the NFL season. You're trying to tell me that this game in week 11 is going to have any sort of ramification on week 19 or week 20. That's silly.
Yeah, I don't
just like drumming up the Patriots game to make it as if that game was bigger than what it was. The same way people are going to drum up the Thursday night game against the Chargers. It's, and I hate to sound like a coach or a player, but being around it long enough, man, you don't get up, you don't get down. If that's how you get beat, that's how you get slapped in the face when you start to make make light of an opponent or build up opponent, putting them on a pedestal. Like it sounds like you want to do with this Rams team and act like there's some sort of a litmus test. No, no, we're the class of the NFL. We are that litmus test. That needs to be the attitude of the players.
No, I think
that needs to be the attitude of the fans.
I think it's silly for you to say that every game is the same and that you shouldn't have a step up when you're playing Super Bowl caliber teams or the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I'm just not going to be able to wrap my mind around what is stepping
up. And that's fine. Like
I think big games are playoff games.
Playing against teams that are potential Super Bowl teams at their best, I think gives you. I think the Patriots loss gave the Chiefs confidence, and I think the Patriots loss gave Chiefs fans more confidence that they were in a better place. I know after the game, I felt more comfortable. I felt better. Now, as I said yesterday, I would still pick the Patriots, but I feel a lot better about that game watching them play against them in week whatever that was. And I do think, yeah, man, I say this with Kansas. I do this with Kansas. When they play, I wish Kansas would play Duke this year. In the regular season, to see, all right, man, this is probably the best. This is the best, and I understand college kids and age things are different, but just putting yourself up against the best competition and seeing, all right, this is where it's got to be. Like this is it. This is a level that you have to be at, and I think that is important. I understand it's week 11, but when you play against these teams. You would like to see yourself against the best that they have to say to you, okay, all right, this is where we need to be.
Double on Azubuike, out to Vic. Shot clock will get to 10. Or will it? Oh! Rogério Vic has a career high in threes. He's got 27 points. And Bill Self's thinking, glad he's back. Rogério Vic. Wow!
That was
ESPN.
ESPN, courtesy of ESPN. Rogério Vic, who went 8 for 8 with 32 points yesterday. And it just makes me nervous as a Kansas fan because I already believe in my heart Rogério believes this is his team, even though he wasn't even able to get his number back. I believe in Legero's hearts. This he believes this is his team, and this makes me really nervous because Legero is to me the college version of J.R. Smith. Legero just does some things sometimes. Legero thinks he's hot at times. Now last night he was, but this game to me will make Legero think he is on fire for the next three. Legero is going to be jacking up shots. He does wild, wild things. And he had a great game last night, and he was as hot as all get out. But, it feels like you ain't going to be able to tell Legero nothing for about 2-3 weeks.
Does KU normally have a player like that?
The last one.
Because if not, that's on Bill. Then. Bill needs to rein him.
Last one I remember was like a Brennan Green. Brennan Green, I mean, he was – but I think LeGerald's even more
– But Bill would sit him down.
Yeah, Bill will sit him down, but LeGerald's even more crazy about at least the shots. Now, he's not off – well, yeah, he is. He's even more crazy about the shots. Like he's going to come in letting him fly in the next couple games. You just better hope that he's on, because he's heat check LeGerald. There were games last year, and you remember the Kansas team, especially early in the season, where they had Devontae Graham, Malik Newman. LeGerald would lead everyone in attempts. LeGerald, like, I remember in the Michigan State game, LeGerald took some shots first where Bill just threw his hands at him, because he'll just come up and take guarded shots that aren't within the play that nobody knows what happened. Now, they went in last night against Vermont. But, oh, he's like the power forward who shoots about 30% from three. But if he makes the first one, it's fool's gold. He'll just keep taking them. Like, oh, God. Okay, this is, like, someone tweeted me last night, and this might be LeGerald's team. And I'm like, God, no.
To me, it's too early to care about college basketball. So now would be the time to let LeGerald do this.
To just let LeGerald roll through?
Yeah, let him get this out. And then when he cost him a game against Marquette or Villanova in December, that's when Bill has his teaching moment to make sure that this is all eradicated.
He's a senior.
By March.
He's a senior.
Yeah, but he's 18.
He's not 18. He's a senior. He's in his early 20s.
22.
The hell with these teaching moments.
However old he is.
Should be here now. LeGerald's like, I'm the only senior. I scored 32. 8 for 8? Ain't gonna tell me nothing. I'm jacking all these bad boys up. Think JR. What do you think JR would do after having a 32-point night going 8 for 8 the next game?
Step up to take the tip.
Yeah, LeGerald is gonna tell, boo. As a bookie,
I got this.
I got it, dope. This is mine. I believe LeGerald's shorts is going to be a little bit more shorter in that next game. Coming up, I told you a while back, didn't I, Vern? And I told the audience, I just knew Reggie Ragland was nasty. I believe it was on full display last night. Seatbelts!
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Was that correct? You think that was 100%?
I know it was. I saw it.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you saw it? I didn't see. I had not seen it.
Yeah.
You lied. You just trying to boost my confidence this morning at 10:16.
I swear to God.
Oh, hell no. Boy, you better quit playing.
I'm dead serious.
That's exactly how
that
it
is. Exactly.
I literally was on ESPN, Serta, and I just read emotions flare between Durant and Green. And lost. That's Draymond and KD. And Vern said, who do you think calmed who down? I said, oh, Boogie got to Draymond. And then I said, Iggy?
Just ruined one of my news flashes. Thanks.
I didn't ruin it. We can still talk about it. I know you only have a few.
I don't know. It was pretty thin today.
Shut up. Good heavens.
Not a lot of time.
Remember today, Tuesday morning.
All right.
Tuesday morning donuts coming up at 12:15. So don't want to miss that. We'll see if Serta can blow it again today. LA, like that should be a go today, right? Los Angeles, Tuesday morning, like that should be a go.
Why right. Do you say with any confidence?
It feels like it's. Like, it feels like L.A. should be one of the... Now, I know Boston didn't work, and it's where it is, so you're right. I don't know.
Started in Boston.
It's like when people answer the phone and they know it's Steve, they just become allergic.
He had the entire state of Arizona.
Yeah, he did.
Well...
And that was a swift offer.
I think it's just the people in Arizona suck.
No argument there.
Well, they only suck towards people who litter. Criminally. Last night, as you know, I had a wonderful time with my new buddy, Therese Paler, and Dusty was there too. He was the third wheel at our date. We had a great time at Monday Night Raw. Shout out Becky Lynch. But then they pan the camera on some of the celebrities in the house. And being that we were in Kansas City, that just literally
I swear to God, if you're
City
about
Chiefs.
To say you thought the camera was going to hit you, I'm walking out.
No, I mean, it should have. I mean, but no. That, celebrities, of course, that means the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis was there.
I was going to say, was Rob Riggle there?
Tyreek was
Eric
there.
Eric Stone Street.
And then, of course, Pat's best friend, Derek Jeter, was there.
Who?
What's his name? Garrett Jeter? Garrett?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just call him Derek Jeter.
That's fine.
He was there. And then the man. The man who plays middle linebacker and finds himself 7-8 yards off the ball when he makes tackles. The man who always looks like he's got some wind to catch. 059, Reg Ragland was in the house. Who we know is nasty.
I learned a lot about Hitch. Some things I'm not going to tell y'all for the most part. But Hitch is a great person, man. He loves football for the most part. We always talk football once we're here. But once we're out, we always talk about life. And always telling me I need to settle down and quit running in the streets with all these different females and everything. So.
As evidence, we know that Reggie is nasty. And I'm sure there are some wrestling fans out here and many of you who aren't. Nia Jax, who is, she is all woman, baby.
Say, give me that name one more time.
Nia Jax, look her up. She's got everything that a gentleman can need and more. I have every belief, and I'll go seatbelts. Reggie Ragland was trying to make something happen. She stood in front of him too long in a match. She was standing outside right directly in front of Reggie. And I swear before God, her head spun around at one point because I believe Reggie was in the nasty zone.
Like in her ear?
There was obviously a barrier between her. But I believe he was saying something to the effect of, all I need is 15 minutes. Seatbelts once again. I believe Reggie was there ready to make it happen.
For the record, the 34-year-old Nia Jax is 6 foot 272.
That's right. Cousin of The Rock. She used to be a model. I know a little bit too much about Nia Jax.
Never heard of her.
But her catchphrase, baby, is, I'm not like most girls. And Reggie wanted to know what that was about. I believe in my heart. As I've begun to be focused on Reggie Ragland and watching him try to make that happen. I saw him say something to her whip around the head, that he immediately got on his phone, and I'm like, what's going on? What are we trying to set up?
So at this point, you've quit watching the wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm in the zone because I can sense nastiness happening.
Sure, you are.
Some people back in my heyday used to call me, I hope my wife's not listening, Mr. Nasty. So I can sense nasty. Before I was the show, I was Mr. Nasty. I can sense nasty. And I don't care how far. I was in the suite. He was on the front row. I don't care how far it was away. I felt it. And I know I just felt it, and I was just in the zone because nothing gets me in the zone more than seeing someone else in a nasty zone. I just wonder what he said to her. What were the lines that he gave her? I'm 6'1".
I think that's the wrong measurement he gave her.
You thought another measurement. Yo, you think he went right on in for the nasty. Yeah, Reggie feels like a guy who's going to throw ultimate haymakers. You ever seen a guy who comes out and just throws ultimate haymakers to just put the ball in your court to let you know his abilities, the things that he's able to do, and if you have expectations, he'll seal the deal for you? Seatbelt to all of this. Maybe Reggie just said, it's nice to meet you. I don't believe so.
I would tell you that things are they're playing good. I mean, defenses right now are stretched in the National Football League. You're seeing it every week. So to be able to get the pressure that we did on the quarterback, I thought was a huge part of it. Stepping up with big plays when needed, I thought was big again. Do we have plenty of room to grow? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Both sides of the ball, special teams, we can be better here. So we're going to just keep working on that. But I thought our guys were getting after it. You know, you ask a question about our pass production, you could ask the same question. You flip it over and go, wow, they you know, kind of got after their guy a little bit.
That's Andy Reid speaking about something about the offensive line, but also the Chiefs' defense mostly. Vern, I want to see the Chiefs put me in a place where I change my thought process about their defense facing elite offenses, right? Because I heard Fesco in the morning, they were discussing this in the last four games. They've given up 17 a game on average. They've turned the ball over more. They've got more pressure on the quarterback. None of those teams were above average at quarterback. Like, I would think the last time they faced a team that was above average at quarterback, does Andy Dalton count?
No.
So you don't count Andy with that. So Brady.
Yeah.
So for
Dalton's
me,
average.
Because for me right now, it is I saw how they fared against the Chargers, and there was a struggle. And I saw how they fared against the Steelers, and there was a struggle. I saw how they fared against Brady and the Patriots, and there was a huge struggle in those games. They won two out of three of them, but still, when they faced elite offenses, and those really the above-average quarterbacks, not Blake Bortles, not two rookies, not like Case Keenum, like they faced, when they faced that, they have gotten absolutely torched. Now, I want to come into the game and after the game feel, okay, I feel differently about this team when they face elite offense. Now, I don't think they would do this. But if the Chiefs were to go into this game and hold the Rams under 25.
Get real.
Like I said, in my heart, I don't believe that the Chiefs defense is capable of doing that because, one, I haven't seen it. And two, I just don't believe their personnel lends towards that. But if they were to come in and hold this team under 25, they win this game like 38-25 or whatever, I would completely come right back here Monday and or Tuesday and say this is not a sham about what this defense has been the last four games because of the quarterback play they've played. No, they held this offense, which has the best running back in football, one of the one of the best play callers in the league, and a great, well-tuned offense. If they held them under 25, I would come back Tuesday and tell you, yes, I look at this defense completely differently, and I feel much better about a playoff run and a Super Bowl run if they were to hold this offense. Now, do I believe they can? No, but I'm not going to sit here and say if they do, because they have been good. They have been good and better the last 4 weeks. And I think that has to do a lot with the quarterback play and the offenses that they play. But if they come out and prove that against the Rams and hold them to the 25 or lower, then I'd be fool sitting up here and say I would look different.
Yeah, all right. One game offsets what Rivers, what Brady, what Roethlisberger did to him.
Yeah, because it would then be in a line of the games that they played leading up to it. And that would because I do think the pass rush has gotten better. And I would say the secondary has gotten better a lot for the help of the pass rush. So yeah, if they held the Rams to under 25, I think I'd be a fool not to sit here and think there was anything different. You don't believe the same?
No. And I think it's a ridiculous argument to make that the last 3 minutes, what you just said of if they can hold, I mean, why even put that out there? All right. If Steven Cerda for the rest of the week doesn't make a mistake, I'll think he's the best producer at 610 Sports Radio.
I will. And it actually, I think Steve is the best producer at 610 Sports Radio.
And I also don't make mistakes.
Shut up.
Show and Vern.
You just made one.
Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Remember, next Monday, if the game happens, we will be live from Show and Vern. We'll be live from the streetcar on Monday. before the Chiefs and Rams game. Special guest, things planned. We're going to have so much fun. So jump out and come hang out with us on Monday from 10 to 2 on the Streetcar. By the way, just announced by Art Horny, Steve Serta, that the final season of Game of Thrones has been announced. I've never watched it, not one episode, not one second of it, because when I got HBO, I just started too late. And I was just like, man, there's too many seasons in. I'm just not going to do it.
That's BS.
I mean, I'm
you
not
watched all of Curb, and there are more Curb seasons.
Yeah, but it's Curb's not as long as...
You can still get caught up. You got 4 months.
It just doesn't. Just, I don't know. It's not your bag.
No, I'm not saying it's not my bag. I've not even tried it to see if it's my bag.
Oh, you like dragons?
Huh? April 2019.
You like dragons and sword fighting?
Yeah.
That's what Ron the Show Hughley gets down with.
Jon Snow.
And you're watching This Is Us.
It's so good, man.
No, I don't think
it's
if
so
you
good
like
tonight's
Game of
Thrones,
it is
show.
Nothing compared to Game of Thrones.
If there is. You can, I know you there's nothing. A few, but you there's can, not nothing. Many people
oh,
that like
here.
Game of Thrones and this is Us.
Yes, there are.
They
there
run
be
counter. They run
people.
Counter
there
to
be,
one another.
Yeah, they can be. Get the hell out of here.
It's
what
nothing.
Is going on with Toby?
Nothing compared to Game of Thrones.
I don't watch either one of them. I
hope Toby really pulls out of it. Randall, will he win?
Sorry. Show, you know what's happening heading into this game on Monday. I mean, you already know the Twitter onslaught you're going to get when Tyreek Hill runs by Marcus Peters. Now, I'm not saying Marcus Peters is going to have a bad game. Marcus Peters could have an interception because you know he's going to go for it. He is going to abandon the defense to make a play because that's what has made him great. But Tyreek Hill will get him at least once, and you know you're going to hear the brunt of it. Text line, Twitter, and of course, I'm sure people are going to try to call next Tuesday, and of course, you're going to get that tattoo.
It's not going to happen.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, and I mean you and Serta, but Chiefs fans are already starting to run up the W flag up that flagpole right now.
Man, we got one early at 10:33. A W early.
Many people have seen, I mean, the Cubs do it, the Royals try to do it, hold up that W. That's what many Chiefs fans are doing with this Marcus Peters trade. As we are now past the midway point of year one of Marcus Peters with the Rams, I just want the both of you, because you two have been, I would say, the most vocal in the city from the
I'll take that.
Start. From the moment they traded Marcus Peters, I think you two were the most outraged at the decision to part with your best defensive player in Marcus Peters. You're about to be on your own. Because the people that were in between that understood maybe the underlying reasons as to why Marcus Peters was traded, but also at the same time they were fed up with some of his antics. The people that went back and forth, they understood why he was traded, but they were disappointed in the ultimate reasons why. Those independent fans, you're starting to lose all of them. They're all starting to go to the side of, man, that was just a good football move. Because what Marcus Peters is putting on tape right now validates the football aspect of it. And at the end of the day, football is going to be all that, in my opinion, this trade is remembered for. Unless Marcus starts doing something special.
That's not true.
Unless
football is not all that this trade will be remembered for. I think you're absolutely wrong on that.
But that's the point. Those independent voters that you had on your side because they agreed with the underlying reasons as to why he was traded. They were disappointed in the decision-making of Clark Hunt and the sentiment of the city and this fan base. I feel like the football that we've seen from Marcus Peters this season has brought them over to the side where they go, yeah, even though we disagree maybe with the reasons why he was traded, man, the football speaks for itself. I'm with it. It was a good trade. I think that W flag is really starting to be rung up the flagpole, and that thing's going to be waving proudly after Monday night. And you, Serta, and many people that feel the way that you guys do are going to be on an island. Maybe you're already on an island,
but I feel like the residents of that island are dwindling.
Yeah, I don't think what you're saying is wrong, but I think if we're talking about football move, like, especially when the trade happened, and even to now, because I think you're smart. We work with a guy every Monday who is very, very smart that I don't think anybody would argue his football sense. What is the reasonings he's told you that we've seen a completely different player that we've ever seen before?
Injury. And you can, and the numbers will back it up, that the reason why Marcus is playing so poorly, there was a sea change once that calf started bothering him.
I think even in Sam Mellinger's column that he wrote from the Star yesterday.
Before the injury, he was giving up 4 catches on 8 targets, an average of 6 yards. Since the injury, 28 catches on 36 targets, an average of 17 yards. That's an extra 12 yards per reception.
He's had by far the worst year of his career and has played poor to any corner this year with those numbers. But saying a football move, hell no. It was a dumb move. You had a guy who is elite at his position when healthy, elite at his position, making $1.7 million, a guy who has been an all-pro twice in 3 years. As Therese said 2 weeks ago, do you know how hard it is to be an all-pro, a guy who is a Hall of Fame trajectory, even with this bad 11 games? Only Ed Reed in the history of the game in his first 3 years turned people over and forced turnovers at the rate that Marcus Peters did. So, yes, it is a poor move. Mm. And it is not. The reason it's a good move is because it made people more comfortable. I think in the locker room, which a part of it to me is weak, in the locker room, and then portions of the fan base. So, no, yes, he has gotten torched this year. But if you think that the Marcus Houston, God, Doug, did I just go to the IMX immature singer? Wow, naked Marcus Houston. Anyway, Marcus Peters, who has been a 2-time All-Pro, 2 out of his first 3 years, a guy who commanded a 2nd and 4th round pick with baggage. Like, no, it's not a good football move. It's not a good football move. And even with what he's done this year, those of you who wanted it to be a good football move, yes, I know you're celebrating like hell because it helped you. And those of you not even who wanted it but didn't want the Chiefs to look like imbeciles, it is helping you right now. But, like, if you think the Marcus Peters that you've seen, what, the last 7 weeks is the guy that's going to be that guy, I think the numbers, and as someone would say in your sport, Vern, the back of the baseball card does not say that. And, yes, I think if he continues to have the normal Marcus Peters that we've seen over the next however many years, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. And then you're going to look stupid.
Serta's newsflash.
I didn't say newsflash. I didn't know if you had any comments or thoughts on it. He directed it to both of us, Serta. I didn't want to leave you out.
Well, I mean, it was back in the segment. We did have a newsflash on the rundown. And I apparently can't make any mistakes the rest of the week.
I didn't say that. You're going to make mistakes. You spelled Kansas K-A-N-S-A last week.
When?
I know you didn't. I even sent it to you because I know it'll piss Vern off. Then someone responded. I know Les Miles wouldn't go to Kansas, but I'm damn sure knowing he won't go to KNSA.
The Buffalo Bills.
Not funny.
No longer in the Nathan Peterman business. As they announced Monday night, they have officially released the quarterback.
Good, man. Good for him. Congratulations. Nate Peterman, enjoy your job at the local insurance agency.
Nate's going to get another job.
He's going to do great.
Nate's going to get another job.
And go start a family. Get yourself a nice house. Get yourself a job at the local Remax.
No. Nate can be a coach, and Nate's going to get another job.
Oh,
No,
don't do it.
I think it's best for his health to get away from
it. Oh, I'm not. You may think it's best for his health. I bet you he gets into a camp and becomes a second or third string quarterback.
And you could become a manager at the local Hilton or something.
He has, with his performance, made the Bills think he was able to start games on two or three occasions.
You should shake everybody's hand and say thank you very much. I'll be on my way. No, I don't need my bag. You can have it.
All right. Tyler Braitsch has kept making his way. KFC's doing chicken and waffles, man.
It's 10:41. Yes. You can't be this hungry already.
It does actually look good. I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, it does look good. KF, as my dad calls it for some reason. He just leaves the C off. You got any coupons for that KF, son? They're doing chicken and waffles. What about that?
Wait, hang on. You normally have coupons for it?
Oh, who don't have coupons that come in? I got Arby's coupons. I got Burger King coupons. I got KF, as my dad would say.
See, I throw those away so I don't go there.
Yeah, I throw them away. But yeah, my dad might hit me with
eight. Throw them
son,
away
you
if
got
he
any,
thinks the son got might
KF?
Have them.
Got any KF? Any KF coupons come in there? That chicken and waffles look so good, man. I'm getting a little frisky right now coming up. All right, whose side are you on? Simple question. Probably Vern.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in to Show and Vern. I think Ben Heisler suckered us into this. Ben Heisler, who then came at me about something I hadn't even know. I didn't even have any memory that we had a conversation about this. Hey, Ronnie H. Joe, can I come back on to talk about when I said this week two about Jason, I got from Jason Lockenfour, basically
what he's
Mitch Trubisky, and that he is on a pace of Carson Wentz.
The Bears are good. I told you early on in the season the Bears were winning that division, and you did that thing where you called me stupid.
Mitch Trubisky's elite performance has got us talking about the Bears.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, but the Bears are, look, obviously Rams, Saints, 1-2 in whatever order. The Bears are the third best team in the NFC.
Oh,
now, I'm not going to get with Ben as far as Trubisky is concerned.
I don't
He's
think
a byproduct of the system, just like Alex was last year in Kansas City. But the weapons that surround Mitch Trubisky, man, those are, again, second only to the Rams or third only to the Rams and the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, their weapons are better than last year, and I think their schedule has been a help to it. But I would – like, we'll see Sunday night. I think the Vikings are a better football team than the Bears. I would take the Vikings. I like their quarterback play better. I like their skill position players better than I like the Bears. And I think the Bears' defense has played really elite, especially when Khalil Mack has played very well.
I'll give you Adam Thielen, Tariq Cohen, man.
Diggs, and it's as much as Serta hates him.
Diggs can disappear.
I think Kyle Rudolph is a solid tight end.
No, he's not.
As much as Serta can play even one time.
You
when
went
he
to
made
Kyle
it.
Rudolph this early?
I'm just saying we're naming their weapons.
Okay,
the trash tight end.
I think the Vikings
Joe, it's
are better.
I would be with you if it wasn't 2018. Look, the game is about offense. Who has that spread offense? Who can put up numbers? Who has that innovative coach? And next to Peyton and McVay, that coach is Matt Nagy with the weapons that the Bears have, and then they have what we always talk about with the Chargers and with the Texans, is they have a playmaker or two on the defensive side of the ball. The Bears are one of the best teams at turning the opposition over. I think your early season judgments on Mitch Trubisky, your early season dismissal of him is weighing into your opinion on why they're not the third best, because they clearly are.
Don't do that.
Cam Newton has to do everything himself.
I would take the Vikings and the Panthers over them right now. If you look at their last wins, they beat the Lions, the Bills, the Jets. They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Dolphins, and they beat the Bucks and the Cardinals. Like, I think schedule has something to do with it. Mitch has played a lot better than I thought. He is reaching Alex Smith levels already before I thought he would.
Right, but I don't think Alex a decade to reach this level.
But I don't think he's – well, yeah, I mean, until he ran into a coach that was good. I think Nagy has been big.
Right, but Mitch is doing it as a kid.
But I don't think Mitch is a difference maker, and I don't think he's better than Carson Wentz, and I don't believe that.
But you got to be able to score.
Or that – yes, and I think
Vikings can't score with the Bears. I don't think the Panthers can score with the Bears.
Points per game.
I don't – yes, as I said, man, they faced a very workable schedule at this point. And I mean, I'm not saying like, but I think that does have to go into it. Like, I have a the Bears are improved. They're a good team, but if you're to tell me right now, I would take the Vikings over the Bears, and they're going to play Sunday night, and we'll see about it. I think the Panthers are better.
Hang on, don't you think we're doing exactly what Ben wanted here? Like, I feel like, and I don't know if you realize this because it's always directed at you, but I feel like a lot of these people in the media, they come at you with their opinion on
Twitter.
They're
as bad as listeners.
Only so they can get on the air. Like Heisler.
So we did this just for Heisler.
Yeah, like Seth Kizer does this
Seth's
all the time.
Bad.
He always sends you tweets, so then maybe you'll invite him on the show. I think Ian Wharton does that.
Okay, I don't know about Ian. I've never had a tweet from Ian. No.
I think he... Listeners obviously do this, where they try to nudge you, and you bite a lot. You take the bait quite often. Sammy Watkins, Marcus Peters, you'll take the bait. But people in the media are starting to do this. And, yeah, I think Ben's the latest because Seth, I know, does this.
Well, Pete's the originator.
Kent Swanson does this. A lot of the Arrowhead Pride guys do this to you.
Matt Lane has tried,
right,
hasn't he?
Right.
Oh. Matt, ooh.
We're
Matt,
always happy you're talking about
why,
Big Mitch.
That's why I respect Craig Stout.
I mean, I don't want to boost your ego, but it's just people wanting to get on the show.
Because it's big time.
And some of it's me, too, because I would like to have those people on. Especially if we're going to talk about Mitch.
Yeah, but, sir, they don't include you on the tweets. Like, did Ben include, sir,
no,
on that?
It's because they have my number.
It doesn't go.
They text me. They
it doesn't. You, oh, if you don't think Ben has my phone number? You don't think Seth has my phone number? Sean Barber does it. Sean Barber DMs me.
Is that right?
Sean Barber, I believe, showed up at Big Whiskey's just to get a piece of daddy.
There's no question, because he did look somewhat heartbroken when he walked into that restaurant.
Oh, and I didn't let him on.
And you went, hey, Sean Barber's here. And then you went right back to our conversation.
Oh, I didn't put a headset. There was an open headset right there for it, too. Yeah,
right.
I got to make
and
him wait.
And he's a former NFL player.
I got to make him
wait. Used to walking in and getting whatever headset is available.
No,
you handled
how
it
do
right.
You rank, like, Pete, like, if I were Pete, I'd feel disrespected. Pete is the originator who, with the help of Serta, just has stiff-armed his way at times on this show against my will and wants. But Pete's the originator.
They are jocking the style of Pete Sweeney,
they really
aren't they?
Are. Yeah, because that now that I look at it, what Ben says was, I want to come back onto the show.
Right, yeah, that's right. Nice. This is all about his brand and him. And
trying to boost himself.
Right, it's a long con. Do that all the time.
I don't even know what he said.
He said it's the long con. He does it all the time.
Does it ever work for you?
Yes.
I mean, he's here. He's on the show. He's a part of the show. He's one of the key pieces of the show. So, yeah.
Except for that one time with that
I mean, think about what Serta has done. Serta, despite making countless mistakes, look at where you guys have gone.
And you
look
know,
at where you two
and
have gone.
Think about it. You think about my greatness. I don't return it. I didn't hit up Heisler when Mitch was throwing 17 horizontal passes.
I feel like anyone that
17
does this
screen passes
should be banned from the show.
Yeah,
from here on out.
I don't, you know.
Any more of these desperate pleas to get on Show and Vern in your band?
I don't do it to
people. Seth Kizer, Ben Heisler, listen up.
I didn't say anything to anybody yet last week when I didn't hear a peep from anybody about Marcus Peters because he played a good game.
Ken Swanson, pay heed. Reach out pathetically again to get on the air, and you are banned forever. New rule implemented by me.
They're not banned forever. It's fun to have Seth come on and watch Serta wilt.
It's giving Seth what he wants.
All right, I already know that you guys are probably going to believe this is a hot take, but I'm telling you, I never give hot takes. They may be wrong, but they're not hot.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.